All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
It feels like I never left. And now I've got Patrick Johnson sitting next to me. You got a heavy dose of Irfan Ghaffar last week.
Oh, wow.
Folks. And I'm back.
Is it possible to have a heavy dose of Irf? I mean, the guy's 6'5", but very lean.
I didn't realize how tall Irf was.
He's so tall.
It was so funny because we had this joke that I usually even say we had a joke. Someone in the YouTube chat was like, wow, Harmon's looking bigger when Irf was sitting in the chair for Harmon. But it was Harmon and Irf last week. It's me this week. Harmon Dial is on the road. He will be joining me on Tuesday and Thursday. But Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you are getting post-media's Patrick Johnson.
Quads, I really want to discuss Coop's couch.
Yes.
For people who don't know, is here for our late friend Coop. It goes to Sakaris and Price days. And I really think Canucks Combo should be taken on the road. We should be sitting on this comfortable couch, you know, sitting back, chatting away.
And when you said it,
I know Grady agrees.
And when you said it, I immediately was like, you're correct.
It's a conversation.
Absolutely. Like, I like our set. I like our set.
It's a lovely
set. Yeah, it's great. But like, Harmon and I sitting back, I'm a sit back kind of guy. Yeah. Like, I'm a vibes guy on this show. Yeah. I just, you know, sit back, lean, talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I like to do.
He's the eye test, Harm's the.
That's right. Numbers guy. Oh, I'm the vibes guy.
It's a nightmare.
You know where there's good vibes? In the Toyota BZ4X. The 2023 BZ4X is Toyota's brand new all-electric SUV that's designed to go the distance for you and your family. The BZ4X is packed with Toyota's coolest tech, but it still has that trusty SUV feel you know and love. And even though it's electric, it's capable of effortlessly conquering any terrain. Whether it's rain, snow, mud, or your friend's questionable post-game recaps, the BZ4X will get you through. And of course, we are coming to you from the iconic Wall Center in downtown Vancouver. Looking for your next meeting space? Contact the Wall Center for all your event needs at sales@wallcenter.com. It's like I said, it's like I never left.
Beautiful. What a read.
I could have crushed the ad read when I came in from vacation on Friday.
Hero.
That was the best. It was the best. Yeah. Okay. Nick P in the chat. We did run a little late today, folks. Apologies for that. He said, Quad's running late after C-Block Science 10 went past the bell.
I really want to know if Nick P is related to Tampa Bay Lightning great Rudy Poshak. That's all I want to know. Nick, tell us. Are you related?
Poshak.
Are you related to Rudy Poshak? That's what I want to know.
So I call him Nick P because I don't even dare try to pronounce
that. Well, that's how they used to. At least 1990s hockey pronounced it Poshak. It might be wrong, but maybe Nick will notice and give us a comment there.
Karan, Harm would need his laptop. No. Trust me. I've said his name wrong many times. He's corrected me. I have it right.
Do you know what Irf called him last week?
What?
Oh, what did he call him?
Karen.
I called him Karen at one point. Karan.
All right.
He corrected
Karan,
me.
Sorry, Karan.
Yeah. He said Harm would need his laptop and a whiteboard while on the couch. Nick P said Rudy is my uncle.
There you go.
Nailed it. There you go. That is hilarious.
Nailed it.
What a fire start to this week. Canucks conversation. It's going to be a busy episode today, folks. We've got a lot to get to. Elias Pettersson signed. We had the emergency episode out on Saturday. So if you haven't listened to it yet, go back and listen to that episode. But our thoughts on the signing. Obviously, I gave mine already on Saturday. But your thoughts on this contract that Elias Pettersson signed?
What were your thoughts? The good deal?
It's a great deal.
I'm amazed they got it under 12.
Okay. I'm amazed they got it under 12, but also that they got it for 8 years. Like, maybe
yeah,
not.
That's what I mean. Yeah.
Maybe like not amazed.
Plus 12. Yeah.
I don't know if amazed is the right word for the term, but the dollar figure.
It's a.
Yeah.
In the end, is a deal about a player that wanted to be here. And no matter how you want to take the narrative, whatever the spin is, you know, whether it was they planned this all along as, you know, was sort of the take that was given to me, or they got to this week and were like, who? I mean, I think they always knew this week was going to be a pressure point. Or like last week, I should say. But the fact that, yeah, it was 8 years, under 12. In the end, the player, Petey likes being here. Like, I was I always thought he liked being here. You know, you're always kind of like, oh, you know, there's a lot here. The noise, obviously. It's a big city. And that's why I asked him on Saturday, like, in the end, tell us about Vancouver. Like, you've talked about this being a place you want to be. Mm-hmm. And he's like, it reminds me of Sweden.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, there we go.
And I mean, another thing that I found really interesting about his press conference was him talking about the investment into the team, right? Mm-hmm. And there was a lot that PD needed to see, it felt like, and that comes from up top. Like he referenced the investment into, you know, the arena upgrades, right? Like that stuff matters for players. And that's the thing is, you know, ownership across other sports, especially sports where there's no salary cap, it's a little bit different. When it's the NHL, look, everybody's going to field a team, unless you're the Arizona Coyotes, obviously there's different stuff. But like for the most part, everybody's going to field a team. Some owners are going to do buyouts. Some owners are going to upgrade their facilities. Right. And some owners are going to take care of their players beyond that. Obviously, we know with the Gillis era, how much that was prevalent.
Right.
But, you know, it feels like that aspect of everything that, you know, where the players are kind of put first.
Right.
It feels like that aspect maybe slipped up a little bit during the Benning regime, 100%. Where obviously is where PD came in.
And you mentioned the Gillis era. I mean, one of the things that they were very upfront about right off the bat was, for instance, Lawrence Gilman coming from the Arizona Coyotes and his experience running their AHL team in San Antonio. I mean, this is like 16-year-old information, but you know, he saw up front how focused the Spurs were on keeping Tim Duncan happy, because like San Antonio was not a place to be.
Yeah,
but they did everything they could to like make it a cool place to play, and they recognized this was the thing they wanted Vancouver to be, and that's why, you know, you go back on the timeline for a practice rink. It's from that era, right? Like, it's not necessarily Gillis that led the charge on that, but he certainly was like, we need to do something like that.
Yeah.
And the discussions have been going, and obviously the Aquilinis, once they took over the team, they started looking around, where can we go? And it's been a talking point since at least 2010 when they stopped going to 8 rinks. So you're exactly, like picking up on him talking about the, you know, renovations. What are we doing around here? What does this facility feel like? What do I feel like in terms of beyond just the game, because all that stuff does matter in a league where everyone else is doing it. In the end, at some point, you're going to become an outlier, and the Canucks become an outlier. They're one of two teams that don't have a practice rink, and they're soon going to be one team that doesn't have a practice rink.
Yeah.
So all those things matter. And it was a statement, you know, it wasn't just winning. Like, he wanted to see culture, and he talked about culture. Petey talked about culture on Saturday, and just the way the standard's been set, you know, whether it's the way Alvin interacts with the players, the way sort of the expectation that Rutherford has from his staff, the way Tockett works with the players.
There's alignment in the organization from top to bottom. And alignment, that's something hasn't been that alignment for years, it feels like. So interesting to hear Elias Pettersson reference that in his press conference. There's an article right now that just went live on Canucks Army comparing the contract that Elias Pettersson signed with the one that William Nylander signed.
Right.
That one. That's where most of my conversation was on Saturday with Irv was, Pettersson's younger. That contract is going to expire when he is 33 years old.
Right.
And Nylander is going to expire when he's 36.
Mm-hmm.
Pettersson plays a more premium position. He's better defensively. Mm-hmm. He's in the Selke conversation and all that sort of stuff. Although he shouldn't be this year. But that's a take I've given out on other shows.
Plays penalty kill from time to time.
Plays penalty kill from time to time. There you go. when you look at it through that lens, this is a contract that looks good now mm-hmm. and is only going to look better as the years go on yeah. and the cap, you assume, goes up.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, Pettersson's this was the point that Pat Brisson made to me when I talked to him on Saturday, was that, listen, we could have gone 5 years and a 5-year deal takes him to him 30. But he's like, the difference from those 3 years in our current contract is $38 million. And are you going to make a difference? Like, it would have been a $55 million deal. And he basically is like, $55 million deal versus almost 93, $38 million. Are you really going to make up that difference if you sign a 5-year deal now for less and then try to yes. chase a deal in your 30, which would have been like, you know, you could, you look at JT Miller, and he has guaranteed himself a lot of money in yeah. that exact window. Pettersson probably would have found that, but this is bird in the hand, and you're here and you know where you are. You got full control over your life. You know, no move. So yeah, I think the price in the end, it was your comparison point is exactly right. Like, Nylander is a fantastic player and you'd love to have him at that price point. Pettersson is only 25.
Also, when we bring up ownership and, you know, where you get the commitment from ownership, obviously we've mentioned the buyout as well, mm-hmm. Oliver Ekman-Larsson and all that sort of stuff. But with Pettersson, it's a player-friendly contract in all the ways that the team could influence, with all right. those signing bonuses, obviously front-loaded as well. It's as player-friendly as the team could make it while still keeping it team-friendly for them when it comes to the salary cap and everything
and,
there.
And, you know, exactly. And people need to understand this. I don't know if you guys talked about this, but, like, the fact that it's got the two huge bonuses right at the beginning, mm-hmm. which is very much about year three, which 2026 is when the CBA ends. I would not be shocked if there's a lockout, like, mm-hmm. as cynical as that is. But, like, there are huge financial incentive reasons for teams not to be paying their players for a couple months. And that's, you know, in the end, that's an acknowledgement. He has a full-on salary that season, and that's the player saying, yep, I might not see some of that money.
Yeah.
And I'm accepting that. You're absolutely right. Like, there are wins on both sides. The win for the team is that they get a little more cap room to work with. The win for the player is he gets a huge ton amount of money, no move, you know, huge signing bonuses up front. It's a fun, interesting contract that's negotiated by two people who knew, essentially two parties that know contracts very well in Brisson and Barry, and, you know, Emily Costin-Gay on the Canucks' side as well. Like, she gets some credit for that because she's the contract person.
Yep. I couldn't make it out on Saturday for the press conference.
You. We really
yeah.
missed you.
Yeah, Petey missed me because nobody's laughing at his jokes.
I did.
You laughed at one of his jokes, but you asked the question.
He's the new assistant general manager.
Yeah, that was great. And Petey, like, I know where he's coming from.
We were
from
laughing. We don't hold the mics up when we're laughing.
It wasn't loud enough.
Oh, come on.
Quads. People weren't laughing nearly enough. And I get
people
it.
People need to understand. Quads, you weren't there.
I wasn't
there. You were
there.
Laughing.
I wasn't there. And I know you're laughing, but you're not laughing nearly enough, it felt like. And I get where he's coming from because, look, like, Petey signed his contract, and you know what he thought of is, what jokes am I going to tell? I come to this show 5 days a week, mostly, and I think
you
about what
an
jokes,
entire week.
That's what I'm saying. So there's one week where I couldn't make it, but I come to this show and I'm thinking, what jokes am I going to tell? And sometimes I'll tell a joke, and if I'm telling it while Harm is trying to think, right over his head, boy genius misses a lot of my jokes.
Should I post the photo I caught of him once last year at the beginning of the season? Like, I turned to say something. It was pregame in Philly, and I turned to say something, and, like, to his full credit, he was taking a moment to collect himself, and he literally, like, the photo I turned, he was just like,
taking he does that all the time.
It's great.
Look, not to pump his tires too much, but he's like a smart dude. Like,
oh, no.
That's the best part
he's
of this
smarter
show.
Smarter than you and me combined.
Oh, yeah. Like, people throw in random names in the chat. I'm like, oh, I haven't heard of that guy. And I'm like, Harmon, this guy, he's like, all right, so I've only watched 30 hours of him. It's like the best. It's great. Harmon does his homework, and he's not a vibes guy, which I'm working on, but that's what makes us a good team is I take on the vibes, and he takes on the, okay, I've watched this player. I have a very solid take about this. And,
he's a vibes guy when he's like, when it's not hockey. He's out and about. Like, when he's out on a Friday night, he's a vibes guy.
Oh, it is Karun. Karun, why haven't you corrected me? You corrected me when I said Karen. Anyways, all right. Okay. Yeah, see, Jeremy Lee. Petey was sad at the press conference not seeing Quads in the crowd laughing at his jokes.
Yeah, don't butter Quads up.
That's
He was sad that you couldn't ask him about a stick.
Yeah, I was.
I mean, that is your right.
Show up to the press conference. PD is
couple your stick flex. Couple Zoomers same? Talking about life.
That's right. Talking about Call of Duty, FIFA.
100%.
But just on that note, like, that was one of my main takeaways from that presser was his dry humor and how just like the weight off his shoulder and how light he was making everything and joking around with J-Pad. Like, you could tell, like, this was definitely weighing on him. And he admitted that too, right? So.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, like, PJ, you've been in the room since PD started his career here.
Mm-hmm.
He's been guarded the past few seasons compared to the start of his career.
Yeah, he's managing a lot. Like, yeah, I get it.
I'm curious when they get back home.
You know, initially he was like, "Who? What are these people about?" Yeah. He, you know, you always hear that saying, "I don't want to make headlines." You know, fair enough. We're also not trying to make you look bad.
We have some breaking news here, fellas.
Uh-oh.
The New Jersey Devils have fired Lindy Ruff. That means Travis Green is the interim head coach.
Oh, hell yeah. Travis Green, baby. Interim head coach for the rest of the season.
Well, why wouldn't you do rest of the season, Quads?
That just rocks. That's the best.
Is Durant's going to move there?
Imagine if the Devils go on a heater and Greener gets him in the first round.
Oh, man. He knows what it takes to win playoff games. Man, the Devils had the most disappointing road trip of the season. I don't want to talk about the Devils too much on this show, but man, like, that has to be the most disappointing road trip of any team's season.
They got Lucas Dostald on Friday.
Dostal's good, but like, man,
it's 220. I guess is Canucks practice done in Anaheim? Does anybody know? I know they were practicing at 1.
I don't know. You
could ask Rick about it. Buddy Greener.
Oh, that's right.
He cites all the time.
Tell Harmon. We got to text Harmon.
To tie that back to the Canucks, of course, one of the names that's been floated out there is Tyler Toffoli.
Oh, my God.
According to Elliot today, the Devils are still trying to make the playoffs, even though, you know, it seems like that's probably sailed at this point and that they're potentially looking to re-sign Toffoli. So does he actually make it to the,
I don't know,
trade market?
I was listening to the DFO Rundown podcast this morning on my way into work.
And you get Frank's list back up here because I was looking at it.
And Frank brought up a good point. He was like, if Tyler Toffoli was going to re-sign in New Jersey, wouldn't he have done it already? And that really gave me pause.
I guess.
He's getting moved. He's 100% getting moved. Or if they don't move him, it's because they want to go for the playoff, blah, blah, blah. I get it. Like, that team should make the playoffs. That's the thing. But
they really should have.
Healthy Jack Hughes this year, I think they do. Right.
Yeah.
And I mean, if they got a save earlier on in the year.
Yeah.
And perhaps if the Flames ownership didn't cheap out and actually let Jacob Markstrom go to Jersey.
Yeah.
That was weird. That was weird. That one's so
okay.
Weird.
We got to wrap up this segment, the Pedersen sign segment. I got to tell you.
What segment is this?
Yeah. Well, we don't do segments really, but we got to
shout stuff.
Look, do you have anything else on Pedersen that you want to say? Because I was talking about how he's guarded. He was a little guarded in the media. No. I'm excited for them to get back home.
There's a load off, and you hope it translates to his play.
Green for Jack Adams. I've already forgotten how to pronounce his name. What did he say? How did he pronounce it? Karun. Okay, Karun.
Where did he say that?
I don't know. He said it somewhere in the chat.
It's Karun. Just telling you.
All right. Travis Green. Yeah, people are loving the Travis Green stuff in the chat.
Quaz, I was a teacher, as you know, and I always got good credit for pronouncing people's names correctly.
What did you teach?
Socials, mostly PE sometimes.
PE?
Sometimes English.
Nice. English. Did you teach like a high school?
Yeah.
Like in the Lower Mainland?
In Vancouver and Richmond.
Oh.
Didn't you teach journalism at Langara? Am I imagining things?
No, I took journalism at Langara.
Oh, okay.
Did you ever teach at RC Palmer?
Yeah.
All right, I got to talk to you after the show. Okay. I gotta tell you that this first segment, which was supposed to be about Elias Pedersen only, but somehow we talked about Travis Green. Time to talk about Park Casino. Park is the official casino resort of the Vancouver Canucks, and Sakaris and Price will be live on location doing a show inside BC Kitchen before Vancouver takes on Colorado on March 13th. Come grab a bite, watch Sakaris and Price, and take home some of the on-site prizes. On days the Canucks play, you can receive 15% off the game day menu with your game ticket at the BC Kitchen. Park is just steps away from Rogers Arena, and when you sign up for Encore Rewards, you get $10 free play to use in the Canucks Gaming Corner. Whether it's a game day or just a night out with friends, let Park be your place to play. I got a few good Park stories. I didn't know how to play blackjack, and I accidentally went to the $25 bet table, and I won. I was up like $125, and I walked away. Can't wait to get
That's
back there.
Beginner's luck.
No, my first time in Vegas. Yeah, and I sat down and I won a couple hundred bucks and I stood up. I got up to 200. I'm like, all right. And I stood up and took it up and I put it in the in the safe in my room. And so I was like, because like that's what it, you know, my hotel would cost or whatever.
Beautiful,
like, made smart
my money
man
back. Made there my money back.
Oh, I love it.
I can only have fun from now on.
That's right. You can have fun by checking out Park Casino. All right, I wanted to talk about this game. Canucks beat the Anaheim Ducks 2-1. A few headlines from this story. Nils Höglander, obviously, with a big game opening the score. Quinn Hughes really dominating after a pretty, you know, not great performance. I think in the statsies, we called it the worst performance of his season on Thursday. It was a really tough game for Quinn Hughes on Thursday, and he was very good last night. He's obviously the driving force on that goal. And, you know, credit to Nils Höglander as well, who ultimately scores the goal and did good work on the play. Before always the goal actually went in. Exactly. I love me some Nils Höglander. Yeah. But Quinn Hughes had a really good game. I want to talk about Nils Höglander a little bit. I got to talk about the goalies as well, but Nils Höglander is the one I want to focus on. Look, I list everything to you. This is welcome to Canucks Conversation.
No, the goalies,
this is how we
I'm
do
just
it.
Laughing with Quaz wants to talk goalies. I'm shocked.
Yeah, that's right. Nils Höglander, 19 even strength goals on the year.
Yeah.
A really nice kind of redemption arc story. Yeah. One Travis Green's looking for in New Jersey. A really nice story for Nils Höglander, a guy who, you know, couldn't get the trust of Travis Green. Well, more than his other coaches, but couldn't get the trust of Bruce Boudreau, couldn't get the trust of Rick Tocchet, and now playing in the top six, flourishing.
Well, no, he never had Rick Tocchet, so he got the trust of Rick Tocchet, and now he's getting games.
Well, at the start of the year, he didn't have the trust of Rick. Yeah. Trust me, I had people texting me every day reminding me that he didn't have the trust of Rick Tocchet when I was on the Höglander train early on in the year. Okay. But anyways, 19 even strength goals on the season. He was getting power play time. I don't know if you noticed this, and I get it stylistically, but Vasily Podkolzin getting power play time and Nils Höglander getting bumped off the second power play unit last night.
I'm just curious about the call up, the timing of Vasily Podkolzin getting called up.
Well, we're going to talk about that in our trade deadline primer, which is coming up later in the show. I like Podkolzin's game as well, but Höglander, I wanted to focus on him and ask you the question of like 19 even strength goals. What more does Nils Höglander have to give this season?
What more does he have to get?
Yeah, like what more
what
can
more
this
can
guy
he possibly
provide?
Do?
Yeah.
Well, he can get, he can get some power play time. He could score some power play goals. No, he's having a great year. I mean, talk about a player that, first of all, was in the NHL when he should. I mean, he had a good rookie season, but he shouldn't have been in the NHL. Yeah. Like, he was in it because the team wasn't spending money.
Louis Erickson and Jake Virtanen were the guys he was competing with for that top six spot. Like, I will never forget that training
it's
camp.
Nuts.
Yeah.
And then the coach got fired the next season and, you know, things, it was just a mess. Like you look at the consistency in his game now and it's very in line with the stuff that Tocchet talks about. And it, in the end, Tocchet was right. Like there's just details and there's things you need and there's a sort of a consistent effort level that you yourself know you can get to. And this is the challenge of coaching is that coaches can take them to the next, like that is what a coach is for, right? Like your capacity is not what you think it is. It's a lot more.
Yeah.
And so, you know, and I think we've seen that to a degree with Podkolzin, and that's part of why they sent him back to Abbotsford this year was just to get him. Cause I've said this many places, but you know, you think about it, it'd been 5 years since he got to be the man. Like he got drafted and then he sits for 2 years at the end of the bench in St. Petersburg, like where in a horrendous kind of situation. Cause it's like when you do play, it's entirely not to make a mistake. Right. And you make a mistake and you're not even going to play.
Yeah.
And you're just, you don't get to be the man. Then you come here. He's had three coaches in the NHL. Sort of being told, oh, play safe, you know, third, fourth line, blah, blah, blah. And so I think he completely lost his way. And Höglander, in a much shorter version of that, is that story. And you go back to his draft year, you know, guy that everyone said, you know, had this motor. He never stopped moving. He had great hands around the net. He just had to figure out, sort of build some strength and translate that game into the professional, like the NHL professional level. And maybe he'd be a great player. And he's turned out to be exactly the player they'd hoped he'd be. And Podkolzin's the same kind of course. And I think Höglander, like in the end, realistically, is he a second line winger? I'm not sure. He's fine. He's a guy you probably like to try to upgrade over. So then you can bump down the roster. You can have some depth scoring. But he's having a good year. I mean, to go back to your original question, what else can he do? Solidify himself as a second line winger and be the player in the role that he is and just be like completely immovable that he's a guy on that line and he's going to be there forever.
sign for another season beyond this one too, and that is some value. That would be very good value for the Canucks if this guy could be a legitimate top six player for next season as well. Okay, one aspect of that game that I really want to focus on, we'll get to Bud Colson because it segues us perfectly into our trade deadline primer. Casey DeSmith. Casey DeSmith's first win since January 9th. More recently, he backstopped, I mean, if you can even call it that, the Canucks in that 10-7 loss, that embarrassing loss against the Minnesota Wilds. And again, I'm making a joke. I'm not pinning that loss on Casey DeSmith. Obviously, a lot of 5-on-3s in that game, 4 of them. Casey DeSmith really good last night. Really liked what I saw from him. I don't know if the Canucks' performance as a whole was as good as what Twitter suggested it was.
It was like, fine.
It was fine, but it was also the Anaheim Ducks they were playing.
To quote Travis Green, it was okay.
Yeah, it was okay, but I don't know.
Which
I saw
means
some
average.
People,
for those who forget, means average. Okay means not good.
Yeah.
And good means good.
I just saw too many people being like, yeah.
Pretty good you never get.
They're back on track. I don't
it was
know.
Okay.
I don't know if they're back on track after that one. We'll see what they do tomorrow in LA. But I like Casey DeSmith's start. Gets the win, and ultimately why this matters so much and why I'm bringing it up is that it builds confidence for the coaching staff to play him over these final 19 games. Thatcher Demko's at 46 games on right. the season.
Yeah.
I asked Rick talking about this two practices ago, maybe. I don't know when I asked him.
I remember I'm not throwing you under the bus here. You asked him. It's been people yelled at me. They're like, why are you? And I'm like, because he's been asked that like almost every day. Like, why are you playing Demko so much?
Yeah.
And you're right. So 19 games ago?
Yeah, 19 games left.
So, you know, 46 games. Are you gonna give him 14 starts? Like, you wanted to keep him under 60. I asked Ian Clark this some point. I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Is his 60 like limit? He goes, oh, every goal is different. He didn't want to say one thing or another, but you knew in the back of his mind.
That's asinine to play goalie that much.
Well, I think it's just realistic. You have to be realistic in terms of the demand of the position. And of course, yeah, I think you have to think about when those games happen too, right? Because as the season goes along, it's harder and harder on your body because you're doing like rest and recovery is hard. The one thing the Canucks do have in their favor over these remaining 19 games is a lot of home games. And was it 2 back-to-backs left?
Oh, I have.
And a lot of off days too.
A lot of off days, yeah. Right? So there's a lot of rest. And like Tockett's kind of brought it up himself. Like he mentioned the other day when they brought their
Roman Bazarin
in, like the
third goalie,
the practice goalie, like that. We're going to see that a lot because it's about like giving your goalie a physical break from everything he's doing because it's so hard to recover.
And yes.
So they're in such like caloric deficit by this point in the season that like it's so hard for them to catch up. And so a lot of games now is even worse than a lot of games at the beginning of the year.
Yes. So what I was getting at is I asked talking about this.
Sorry.
And he said that him and Ian Clark have kind of discussed a range.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've tried to do is figure out what that range is.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/acast. That's burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/ACAST.
I'm going to guess it's 55 to 60. Yeah, I don't think 100%. They want him over 60. Oh, yeah. I think if it's a range, yeah, it's 55. So you would need to start DeSmith at least five of these games. And like you said, there's a lot of rest, so there's going to be some temptation, I'm sure. But you've got to start DeSmith at least five of these games. And I would argue that you've got to get it closer to 55 than you do 60. So I think you should go back to kind of what we saw toward the start of the year, where it was more of a split. I don't want a 50-50 split, but maybe like, I don't know, a 60-40 split, a 65-35 split.
I think we're going to see a lot of Casey DeSmith.
You should see a lot of Casey DeSmith, is what I'm saying. Because if you're going to add on at least 16 more wins in the playoffs, you're going to need Thatcher Demko healthy. And you think about what his total is going to get to, you know, if during all those playoff games. Like if you have two games, like, or excuse me, your first two series, you play two series and they both go to seven games. And then you get to the third round, you're halfway there. You're halfway to where you actually want to end up. Okay. And they both go seven games. You've added 14 games to Thatcher Demko's workload. Exactly. So if you start him 60, now he started 74 games. Yep. Now we're getting into what goalies haven't done for the past, I don't know, like 5-10 years.
Yeah.
That's where we're that's where the conversation is starting to go. So if your let's best see them case win scenario, around
first, Dave.
Sure, I'm just saying.
Plan, this guy thinks Demko's the next Vasilevsky here.
Plan for the best. Games. Plan for the best is what I'm saying. And if you if your best case scenario is getting to the Stanley Cup final, which it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
I get it. You don't want him playing now.
Yeah, you don't want him playing now.
Yeah, 100%.
Think if all four of those games go to seven games. Grady, what's seven times four?
28.
28. I didn't
stole
know
it out of my mouth.
That's what my... That's
just, you're the editor of Canucks Army.
Yeah, not Math Army.
I just wanted to note on to Smith. I know his save percentage and he got... And that's been, deflated by the Minnesota game. But even the recent games outside of that, he was still picking up points.
Yeah.
Right. And if you look at his total body of work this year, 13 of 17 starts, he gets at least a point. 21 points out of a possible 34. For a backup goalie, you can't ask for much more than that, right? Sure, you'd want the save percentage to be a little higher, but, you know, what do we always say about backup goalies' quads? You got to give your team a chance to win.
Yeah.
And I think pretty much, you know, almost every night he's done that.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be interesting to see now where they go with him next year because he's a UFA. Seelovs hasn't been great.
He let in that game losing stinker.
Nikita Tolopilo.
Well, that's the thing. Or do they look like a...
Oh, I thought you said he let the goal in. No, that was Seelovs. We know all about Tolopilo on this show.
So do they go with a veteran next year? Do they maybe bring DeSmith back? Be interesting to know. I know a backup goalie's lower down the pecking order of, you know, things you got to get done in the offseason, but it's a very underrated component of team building.
I'm just looking ahead here. You know, you look at the schedule, the way it shakes out, right? Three tough games this week. So, you know, are you going to try to get to Smith in any of those? I don't know. You've got days off next week. You've got Washington on Saturday. Like, do you
the 16th
Saturday 16th, like, do you think so poorly of Washington that you're gonna start Casey DeSmith against them? You've got games against Buffalo and Montreal, you got a game against Calgary at home, you've got games, then tough games, you know, like there's a lot of another Anaheim. I think there's a couple Arizona games here. Like, there's a lot of games where you can literally map it out and say, yes, that is going to be a Casey DeSmith start.
Can you find five of them?
At least. I've just found five right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, just looking through the end of March.
I'm going to say something. If this were the start of the season and we were still seeing the Canucks be really disciplined in their plan with Thatcher Demko, we would see Casey DeSmith on Thursday against the Vegas Golden Knights.
I agree.
Full stop.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we were seeing at the start of the year. Grady, you had something.
Well, just now they'll probably go Demko against Kings, Vegas, Winnipeg.
Yeah, for
Colorado.
Sure. Yeah.
If they do give DeSmith Saturday against Washington, now you're looking at Wednesday to the following Tuesday as games for Demko. So 6 days of rest. And I think that's a key component in all these trying to map out schedules, how much rest day in between rest and recovery.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want him playing like, you know, three out of four or something like that.
I mean, he's like playing, like, you look at that last game of the season on the 18th of April in Winnipeg. Like, DeSmith is 100% going to play in that game. right? Like, it's the last game of the year. You're just going to give your goalie a break.
Unless
there's some crazy scenario they're facing.
Standings. Wow.
Like, they're
playoff seeding.
Yeah, but I mean, it's almost certainly like, let's put it this way. Casey DeSmith's name is written in pencil right now. And yeah, ideally, they'd like to put it in pen.
We're also penciling in that as our next watch party date. So stay tuned for that, folks. That'll be our next date. You going to come this time?
Well,
here's a good question.
Well, you obviously were listening to Sakaris and Price because we had a long conversation about this, which was that I had my Strata AGM.
Oh.
And I'm on the Strata.
Oh, that's right. You're now what?
I'm now the president.
Oh.
Of your Strata?
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Wow. How much does that pay?
Nothing.
Exposure. Resume builder.
The stress.
Could you pick a game that's not on a Thursday? Because I usually have to write about the game on a Thursday.
Maybe we'll invite Kuz instead.
There you go.
Kuz will come to the event.
Two games against the Coyotes. Probably.
Yes. There you go. Yeah.
Anaheim. There's two games. Anaheim. Two games against Coyotes.
Buffalo.
Montreal.
We just talked about that.
I think we're going to see a lot of them.
Yeah. Okay. We talked a lot about the Smith, the Ducks. Can I speed the Ducks?
Mm-hmm.
Let's get to this ad read. Well, I forgot about
it. Nice segue. Way to slip it in.
I know.
There.
Yeah. So nice.
Love your sponsors.
And I don't know how I could forget about that because it's one of my favorite sponsors. Four Winds Brewing. Family owned and operated in Delta, home to the Four Winds Light Lager, a crisp, clean, and easy drinking beer. A beer for everyone. A perfect beer for before, after, or during the game. Ask for Four Winds Light Lager at your local liquor store or have some delivered right to your door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. Look at that new graphic. That's beautiful. Okay, let's get to our trade deadline primer, which is brought to you by the Wendy's Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool Game. Wendy's letting you win real food with your fantasy teams this year in the Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool Game. For those of you who smoke the competition, Wendy's is rewarding you with weekly prizes that will have you winning. Download the Wendy's app and score yourself 150 bonus reward points on your first order and grab a sweet victory from the mouthwatering jaws of defeat along with some fresh, never frozen beef. Sign up to play Daily Faceoff Survivor Pool Fantasy to win weekly prizes like the spicy chicken sandwich from Wendy's and the Wendy's app. Okay, trade deadline primer. How do you think Vasily Podkolzin played in Anaheim?
I think he played pretty good. I mean, that was the player that they want him to be.
Paging Kyle Dubas?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh, I look at it and say absolutely. Great. Yeah. Pull this up. This tweet from LeBron. We also saw our pal Rick Dhaliwal report on this today that the Canucks have serious interest was the words that Dhaliwal used in Jake Guentzel.
Sure.
LeBron tweets this out. The sense is the Penguins after that road trip have a very, very clear sense of what needs to be done before Friday's deadline. For those that don't know, the Penguins pooped the bed on that road trip. It was arguable. Like, you could make an argument that it was as bad as the New Jersey road trip, but
I think
New Jersey's was worse.
In a weird way, Pittsburgh needed this because they needed to, like,
they should have never made the Erik Karlsson trade. That was dumb when it was made.
I think it was let's listen. It was a bit like this when, not to really defend Benning and Linden when they came in, but they come in, they've got the Sedins. What are they going to do? They're going to try to make this team, a sort of last squeeze of the lemon, if you will. And that's what the Karlsson trade was about. They're like, hey, maybe we can make this like work, but it hasn't. In the end, who would expect the power play with all those guys on it would not be good, right?
Absolutely.
Well, I'm sorry to cut you off. I thought it was weird because we kind of saw in San Jose that they already tried to do the Karlsson Burns experiment, and that didn't work.
That's
right?
A good point.
Pittsburgh had Letang already playing PP1 anchoring that, and it's like there's only so much puck to go around. Yeah.
But I would say, as a counterpoint, look at your Vancouver Canucks who have managed to make it work with Philip Ronick and Quinn Hughes. So, but yeah, in the end, Pittsburgh, they said, let's give it a go. We can make it a go. It's not working. So what do you do?
Yeah.
So now what do you do? So you know, they have this bad losing streak. It is clear. It is time to move along and start moving stuff out.
Trade Crosby to Vancouver.
Yeah. That, I mean, as I said before, could you imagine? I mean,
I listen,
if Sidney Crosby is available in a trade, you like jump over the desk immediately to make it happen.
Do you know what's crazy though?
He loves Tockett, by the way.
Like, I can't imagine.
They all love Tockett. They all love Crosby.
Crosby loves Jim Rutherford.
Yeah.
Like, do you remember when Jim Rutherford stepped away from the Penguins? The quotes Crosby was giving was he was like, I'm pretty sure he said he was sad. Like, I'm shocked and saddened that Rutherford stepped away.
Yeah. No, Sid, they love Sid. Like,
Phil Kessel's about to be a Canuck. Like, come on. I can believe it. That's the thing. You asked me if I can believe it. I can believe it. I could imagine, and I can believe it, that the Canucks would be in on.
Yeah, I think. I mean, the Canucks, having poked around again, figuring things out, and trying to bring something to the table to today's conversation. Yeah, and it's everything we've heard. But like for the longest time, I was I'm like, I looked at what they had. They're like, they need a defenseman now. But now they've been playing, and they're like, their focus has been drive that they want to, they would love to find a top six forward. I think I do think Gensel's too hard. I talked to a few people around the league. People seem to think he's going to end up in like Detroit or Detroit, Edmonton, Colorado. You know, I mean, the thing with Gensel is the contract is big and you have to figure out a way to make it work under the cap. And the Canucks have challenges, obviously. And when you're in Pittsburgh's position and you have so little in the stable,
yeah,
like you are going to make the trade that gets you the most.
And we saw the report that Pittsburgh is looking for prospects, not picks, which I found interesting because I was starting to think, okay, like,
so
what would, if you're the Canucks, what are you offering that gets Gensel done? Well, does it have to be
Lekker? What are you saying yes to? And like,
exactly.
So like, for instance, one of the things that came up in 10 of discussions I heard was that, you know, obviously DPD came up.
Mm-hmm.
And the Canucks really like him. They really like Willander, and they really like Lekker Mäki. Those have been kind of the three guys that they just do not. It's very clear they do not want to move. But does the quality of player that's available? I mean, you have to think that it changes.
I'll tell you what, Atu Ratu's getting hot at the right time. Like he's tearing up the AHL right now.
Great, but like
they have no other centers in their organization, like, really. You know, other than Sasson.
I like Sasson, but like come on,
good name.
But like, yeah, so they're in a position like Gensel clearly far and away is the number one guy out there. You know, a guy like Buchnevich is going to get a lot of interest as well. Like look at Vegas. And like, that's the other thing. Look at Vegas and the position they're in trying to pick people up. Right. They're in a very strong position realistically. You know, so the Canucks are in the mix for a lot of these guys. They want to find a top six winger, but a lot of these guys are going to be going to, you know, there's a lot of teams that are in better positions to make trades than the Canucks are. The Canucks are fine edge. So that's why you start going down the list and you start thinking about guys like Riley Smith or Anthony Duclair or players
Tyler
like that.
Tyler
Toffoli. I mean, I think Tyler Toffoli, I mean, I was saying to you the other day, I would laugh hysterically if that is where they ended up.
On the same contract that he should have signed in Vancouver? Yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this because I was trying to think of how, you know, with a Jake Gensel and obviously the money's not perfect, but with like a Jake Gensel or Tyler Toffoli, how are the Canucks going to fit that in? I'm starting to get into the territory, and one guy we didn't talk about in the Anaheim Canucks recap there was Ilya Mikheyev, who continues to just be absolutely awful.
And he's a guy that's going to come out of the lineup, like once, you know, if they get back to full health, like when Josh gets back, like next week or whatever it is, like, and there's no other,
if they go and get like Brandon Duhaime, even if they don't make a trade,
you're right,
he's coming out of the lineup.
It's really too bad. Like he played pretty well last year on one knee, and it's surprising. I mean, for ACL injuries are hard to come back.
Yeah,
they take a long time, right? And so we're in that 1 year window now, and I'm surprised at sort of how it's like he's slowed down. And so anyway, he's a mess. It's a mess. And I don't know how you get out. I don't know how you convince someone. He clearly, like, the reason why he's in the lineup is because he's not, like, hurting you defensively.
Yeah.
But he's literally not doing anything.
He's Louis Erickson. He's Louis Erickson.
He's become Louis Erickson.
And this is what I'm kind of getting at. And I mean, I made the Louis Erickson comparison in yesterday's instant reaction was that at least Louis hustled. And right now we're just not seeing much hustle. And, like, you know, peeling away
try.
From body.
No, I think there's a lot of try.
Peeling away
but
from
think,
a lot of puck battles
I think
and body
he just,
contact.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Come on.
I think, but I,
offense goes to die when the puck gets on.
Yeah,
the
but even away from it, that, yeah, like you're, and J-Pat pointed out on Twitter too, there was like two instances where he could have finished his check and pulls away. You're leaving the lineup. You're out of the lineup. Yeah. I'm sorry.
No, I'm not. I'm not defending him.
And I mean, you said it too. Like he's out of the lineup when they're fully healthy. So the thing that I'm wondering, Patrick, is, and I saw Drantz talking about this too, is that there's got to be belief around the league a little bit that, okay, he might be able to come back because there's understanding of how ACL injuries work. And you just pointed out you're in that kind of year where there's recovery. There's a chance that he kind of finds that spark again, finds that speed that made him effective. And I'm just wondering if you can make a trade, you know, let's use Toffoli as the example. Okay. Where Mikheyev goes back to make the money work, but you're still throwing in like a solid prospect and a second or third round pick for Toffoli.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, I mean, there's sort of a understanding of, like, you know, you're going to have to do some, like, the Penguins probably recognize you're going to have to do some retention, right? Mm-hmm. Like,
yeah.
I have a hard time imagining it, but I sat back and thought about it. Like, you know who brought Ilya Mikheyev to the NHL? It's Kyle Dubas.
Yep.
Yeah.
I have a hard time seeing that happening. But, you know, if somehow there's a price involved that's retaining Mikheyev, and that's the price against, you know, retaining, you know, blah, 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 blah. Like, it's funny and complicated. I don't think that happened. That's just me talking aloud, by the way. That's not
Dubas, a report, an official
absolutely,
report.
Absolutely not a report.
What
Dubas,
you say,
Dubas also knows his injury history before the knee injury. Like, this guy could never stay healthy.
That's the other thing.
And the
though,
same
right?
thing yeah. has plagued him his whole career, is that he just doesn't have the hands to finish. Yeah. And you move him, elevate him up into a top six. Like, when he played with John Tavares, same thing with Pettersson now. Like, he just couldn't sustain that production that you think you need to. And, you know, if you're an acquiring team, are you really, of course, retention would be involved. Yeah. But, you know, this guy is trying to get round back into form. Same kind of things have plagued him his whole career. Are you really going to pay that much money for a guy that's just defensively responsible and giving you nothing offensively? Quickly, before on Pittsburgh, before we transition here, what about Chad Ruedel? I tweeted that over the weekend. You know, here's a guy that is battle tested in the playoffs. Rutherford and Alvin would know him. Right shot, depth guy. You're not going to have to pay a lot, but, you know, you can never have too many defensemen come.
Yeah,
playoffs. They love that Pittsburgh well, right?
Yeah, I mentioned him I wrote a story like last week. I just mentioned him on the side. It's like, is that the kind of guy? Because you know, in the end, the defenseman Rutherford's always gone for. You know, he's gone for someone who can play. You know, I think the Canucks, you look at the Canucks, they actually, I think, are pretty happy with the kind of the edge they have. You know, is there a guy that can move the puck a little bit better than what they have? Is that a kind of defenseman you can find? Ruedel's not that guy, but Ruedel is a guy that's would be an upgrade on Mark Friedman. And so if you're just looking at an upgrade on Mark Friedman, if you're looking to change the mix entirely, I mean, I don't think they're looking to change the mix all that much. They're pretty, like I said, pretty happy with that. Like, Susie comes back, he's been their best defensive defenseman.
Matt Irwin sent down today. Looks like Susie's going to play on Tuesday.
I feel bad
night.
For also Matt Irwin. Good dude.
Oh, Matt Irwin's the best.
He's had two call-ups, and he's been here for, like, he's been in the NHL for a grand total of, like, 48 hours. But that tells you, I mean, they signed him as a depth guy. I'm mildly surprised he hasn't gotten a longer look, but the fact Friedman shoots right, I guess, is the overall.
I like
character.
Matt Irwin a lot.
Yeah.
And he played games with the Caps last year,
he played
year
60
too.
Games, right?
61. Yeah.
But, you know, you hit your 30s, this is how it goes. I mean, look, I hate to mention it, but you look at Ian Cole, right? Like, Ian Cole's had some struggles lately because I think he's feeling his age, 35. But yeah, anyway, I found myself thinking about just sort of where they're at, what they're looking for, and the top six winger thing, I mentioned that earlier, you know, looking for a defenseman who can move the puck a little bit more than they have right now, but I think that's probably dreaming. And they don't have a ton of space. The thing I do find myself wondering, could they find a way to get off Tucker Pullman? You know?
Oh yeah.
Right.
Ah.
Like, long, if you're thinking long term. But I don't, you know, was it Bill Armstrong said, oh, he defiantly declared we're not the dumping ground, but it's also, you read it and like, well, you don't have any money.
Yeah.
So what are we talking about? Are you willing to take picks and prospects? Oh, great. Like, you got Matt Dumba. Okay. I mean, Matt Dumba is an interesting player.
Yeah.
I think he'd be an interesting player here. I'm not sure how he fits in the lineup at this point, but
is there any world that the Canucks go full Vegas and Tampa and say, hey, Tyler Myers, just take your time on this one. We're going to
put everything they said. Yeah, yeah. Everything they said. I don't think it happens. I think, you know, they're in that window now where it's like, okay, how do we manage? Assuming they sign Kessel, I don't think they'll expose him to waivers, but, you know, if you sign him before Friday, you could expose him to waivers and he's on your NHL list. So that's all you need. You just need him on your list, but you also have to protect against him getting claimed.
When does he play in Abbey? I don't know their schedules.
Well,
I don't think he's going to play in
Abbey. Abbey's still on the road.
You'd have to sign an ATO.
Abbey's still on the road. Yeah. So Abbey, if he was going to have played any Abbotsford games at home, it would have been last week. Okay. But they're on the road this week. They don't come back till next week, right? They have home games next week. So you could give him a conditioning stint down there. But it certainly sounds like if they sign him, it's like he'll be on the NHL roster and then they'll loan him because that way they don't have to burn a recall.
Yeah,
but then,
exactly.
But then you're dealing with cap stuff.
Yeah.
So there's sort of cap machinations. If it happens, if he gets signed, I assume he will be get signed. Like his contract will get registered right before the deadline.
Exactly.
They've already done a couple other things and they can make it all work that way.
Okay, we're going to get to anyone else. But before we do that, I want to close with a question for you.
Uh-oh.
It's about Puck Colson.
Already asked me.
I know. I'm going to ask you again.
I didn't know there were going to be Puck Colson questions.
That's another one. This is I want your... Put everything we've said about Pod Colson so far. Put it all together here.
Yeah.
Okay. From a 10th overall pick. Okay.
Yeah.
You, like you said, hasn't gotten regular deployment at any point really throughout his career to this point. Hell, even in Vancouver, it's top six, it's bottom six. There's been no regularity. This season, he gets some regularity in Abbotsford.
Yeah.
He looked great in Abbotsford. Maybe didn't put up a ton of points, but he's been looking really solid down in Abbotsford. Came up yesterday. Again, zeros on the stat line, but I thought he played pretty well.
Yeah, sure.
Going to be a few more games ahead of the deadline for opposing general managers and opposing teams to see him. Two games left. I ask you this, Patrick. Is Vasily Podkolzin a member of the Vancouver Canucks organization Friday?
Put me on the spot there.
I know.
I think I have to say no because that's why I'm hesitating.
You're saying no?
I think I have to go with that and say no.
And why are you saying no?
Because I think he's going to end up being a trade chip. I think they're going to show that his game's coming back and that someone's going to want to go, yeah, that's a player I like.
I look at it and say this management regime, from everything we've heard, does not want to move on from Lekker Mäki. They do not want to move on from Willander.
That's exactly it.
They don't want to move on from DPD, Elias Pettersson 2.0. Mm. What do all those guys have in common, Patrick? They were all drafted by this management regime.
Then that's a not uncommon story.
And I'm not trying to say that this manager regime doesn't like Vasily Podkolzin. I'm just saying that they understand how business works in the NHL, and they understand that if they want to get any business done and they want to go out and make a trade, they're going to have to give up something that they like. What do they like the least out of this pile of prospects? Maybe it's Vasily Podkolzin.
And they were being very quiet about him. You know, I think, I asked Rutherford about him, a month ago, and he was like, could be a playoff guy. I mean, so that's why I was like, as soon as they call him up, I'm like, it can't help but miss the timing. But I was like, I think the timing does matter on this one.
I'm going to say no as well. I think Vasily Podkolzin is on the move. I think he could be on the move ahead of Friday's deadline. Okay. Final thing on the trade deadline primer, the ticker. What do you think the Canucks do before Friday? I'm giving you a chance to make one bet. This is the one thing the Canucks are going to do. I'm going to say, I'll go first. Okay. I'm going to say they do not trade for defense help.
Right.
They don't trade for any defense help. Sure. I don't think they get any depth defensemen.
Sure.
I don't think they make any upgrades on defense. That's what I'm going to say. I don't think they make anything, trades on defense. I think they go out and get one top six forward and one bottom six forward.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. I think that happens.
You're supposed to disagree with me.
Well, the problem is, Dave, is that I already said those things.
Maybe the problem is that I have great ideas. And I mean, you think about, in all seriousness, you think about the fact that they are adding Kessel as well. Like, in all indications are that this team's going to add Phil Kessel. You're adding to your depth in a different way.
So the Kessel thing is interesting because if he can play, and there's obviously if they're signing him, they think he can play.
Yeah.
You see, he's going to be on the fourth line, not play a ton. He's there to help your power play because your power play has lost its way. And so is he your depth guy? Or is it him, like Duhaime, and then like Riley Smith or something like that?
Anything's better than what's on the fourth line right now.
Yeah, it's kind of funny how that's happened.
I know.
I mean, it was such a bright start. I mean, I never thought Phil DiGiuseppe was
going to be, man.
But it was such a bright start for DiGiuseppe, and then he has three goals.
Yeah.
Like, how do you roster that guy?
Yeah. Exactly.
He had his first shot on goal in five games last night. And I know he's a grinder, fourth line.
He's worked hard. Good dude. Good story.
Great dude.
But.
That's where I might disagree with you guys, because I think Podkolzin already is an upgrade on
Giuseppe. Yeah.
And I think Tockett really likes this tool set that Pods has to offer.
He does.
However, you can also get kind of that player out on the market on the deadline. So
that's why I hesitated, because I was like, everything he does when he's on and he's the player that I think people still believe he could be or should be is exactly what Tockett wants. So that's kind of why I was like,
and he's cheap,
and he's still relatively cheap. Yeah. And you're going to get him back for a pretty cheap deal again. Like, he's not, they need cost control guys, and a guy like that on a cost control deal, especially if you're trying to now figure out how you're going to manage your way through your OEL buyout for the next 3 years, you know, that's the kind of guy that, you know, do you move him now or do you move him, you know, a year from now or whatever? So,
yeah.
But I also think he probably has a lot of value, especially if you're trying to navigate your way through a world of stinky contracts and things like that.
Stinky contracts, the Ilya Mikheyev story. All right. That was it for our trade deadline primer. And look, you're here all week. You're here on deadline day.
Well, every other day.
Every other day. Yeah.
I can't replace Harm.
We're gonna have a lot of time to continue talking about the trade deadline. But late show, sorry, folks. It's time for Anyone Else, brought to you by DoorDash. You're supposed to say ding dong when I say
ding
DoorDash.
Dong.
There you go. It's our listeners' chance to get involved and hit us up in the YouTube live chat. And it's also our listeners' chance to get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when they download the DoorDash app and enter code NATION25. That's all capital letters, NATION, and the number is 25. Offer valid in Canada, subject to change. Terms do apply. Okay, let's get to it. What do we have in the chat here? Let me know if there's anything on Facebook.
Well, first of all, Karn changed his name to Karn for Karnversation, which is fabulous.
Yes, I saw that.
Canucks
Canucks Karnversation. It's great. It's wonderful. Brian Choi, thoughts on just waving Ilya Mikheyev to Abbotsford? It would save the team more than $1 million in cap space. Don't remember the exact number. Would do a lot for cap flexibility.
It'd be $1 million. Yeah,
it was 1.25.
Not bad. Yeah, it's certainly possible.
Out of further, piss off Dan Milstein.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell your clients to play better.
They're gonna try to trade that contract.
Oh yeah, he is. I'm just saying, like, an agent
pass last night. By the way, did we talk about that? Because man, that was beautiful.
Oh, Zadorov Garland. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I really like the finish from Garland too. He's like reaching behind
especially
him.
The right shot, like cutting through. That's a hard kind of redirection through the slot like that.
Yeah,
I loved Garland's lack of a celly too. It was just like
I scored.
Oh, I scored. We've been here.
Zadorov bowed to him.
I do that now. Okay, hell of a shot. Do you guys think the Canucks should flip Elias Lindholm? I'm going to say no.
No.
I think you still give him time to figure it out. And Patrick Alvin was asked about that. Well, not asked about that specifically on Saturday. Ooh. But he was asked about Elias Lindholm and, you know, kind of talked about the, Rick Tocchet was asked about it. And he spoke about how, that's why we got him here early so that he can maybe kind of figure things out a little bit. You really wanted him to find a home on Elias Pettersson's line. Why do you think that hasn't worked?
Well, I mean, the thing that surprised me about it, this is answering it in a different way, was Lindholm was a guy who worked really well with Tkachuk and Gaudreau.
Yes.
Right? And you clearly can see he's not a guy who needs the puck on his stick, right? Like, every line has a guy who needs the puck on his stick. Pettersson needs the puck on his stick. So I was surprised that that didn't work, or it seems to have not have worked yet. It may yet work. I am intrigued by the idea of him being the third line center between Garland and Joshua. I think it's just familiarity, honestly. I think it'll come. The sort of mid-season pickup is always challenging. Think about Zadorov. Like, Zadorov had a real, like, he started kind of with a flash, and then he had that real lull. And he's only just kind of coming back to where we thought he was going to be. And I think Lindholm's just kind of in that window. He's trying to figure out who his teammates are. He's trying to understand what's going on, level expectation, all these things, like what they're trying to do. It is a reasonably complex, like, it's so funny. Players are like, oh, there's not much difference between systems. I'm like, clearly there are, because you guys always talk about it. You know, coming in, that there's just a lot to pick up and what they're trying to do. He's been fine. You want more, obviously. You want to see a little more. He's not like a creative player, but he's a player who does all the smart kind of smart stuff off the
puck. I think these next four games here is kind of the point where we go, okay, they have something here, or maybe they didn't acquire the player they thought, because this is as pretty much close to as playoff battle tested games as you're going to get. You know,
I'm going to say there's more time than that. Teams.
Well,
I want to see him with, like you just said, with Dakota Joshua. Like, I'm curious how that line looks.
Yeah. Can I say a shout out to my guy Trevor? Hell of a shot. I totally agree. Toffoli is a way better, way easier to make things happen than Gensel.
Absolutely.
And there's track history there, right? Track record.
Yeah, exactly.
They've already shown chemistry.
Captain Canuck threw this out. Gensel or Toffoli, he didn't say Toffoli, but you know, take this how you will, to replace Lafferty, and then Kessel replaces Ilya Mikheyev in the Canucks line.
Yeah, there'll be something like that. That's smooth. There's a lot of plug and play right now, like where you can see the upgrades. You can see, like, the thing, if you think about it, you put Kessel in the lineup, who do your penalty killers become, right? Because you're probably taking a penalty killer out. And, you know, Rick knows he shouldn't play JT so much, but they like to play JT, you know, like. So, you know, there is that sort of thing to consider in terms of how they set up their penalty killers. But if you got Lindholm roll, if he can figure it out, you know, Mikheyev, Joshua comes back, like you replace Mikheyev, like, I don't know. It's a bit to figure. Jeremy Lee, I like this. Who are your untouchable players in the current roster for next season?
Like guys that are still to be signed, or
I just think who's going to be who are the guys that you have to. There's some obvious ones, like there's Pettersson.
Okay, yeah. We'll go past the obvious ones. Demko. You know,
Demko, Miller.
Brock Besser?
Is Brock Besser untouchable?
That's a great question, because there is the argument that, yeah, you would want to sell high on Brock Besser right now when he's scoring 35-plus goals or whatever, right? Well,
if they bring in a guy like Gensel and they re-sign him, then you're going to have to move out of.
Absolutely.
And I think that is exactly where it starts becoming that. So you start thinking, so, okay, how do we, you know, you can have both right now, but you can't have both long term.
Yeah, I'm going to say your untouchables are Quinn Hughes and Elias Pettersson and Thatcher Demko. And if anything
and
else.
Miller. You're training Miller this summer? How are you training Miller this summer?
Quads? No, you're not, because he has trade protection. Yeah, sure. Okay, fine.
It's not happening. And you're not training him.
I'm just saying.
Those two are now the conversation is those two do have to learn to live with each other, right?
Yeah, he's a full no move. He has a full no move. So it's not like
that it's, just to be clear, not that there's huge problems. But
Taj is already tweeting it.
Taj, PJ says, you know. No, it's just like they're different guys. And
totally.
They're going to be together for a long time.
Yeah.
And a lot of, you know, there's lots of examples of teams like that where, you know, but it's not as cliquey. It's just learning to love each other in a new way.
Canuck with a two-parter here. Bluger out of the UFAs is the one you keep. And then he also said, PJ, can you explain why Miller and Pettersson hate each other?
They don't.
Oh, shut up.
Explain to the group. Okay.
Don't hate each other.
Do you really think Bluger is the guy that you try to bring back?
Out of the UFAs? There's so many UFAs they're going to bring back
more
than one.
There is, but you have Suter signed. You have Oman cheap. You can always go find another
center. Bluger's better than Oman.
Sure, he is, but he's also has not, what, I don't think he's scored in this calendar year.
No, I'm keeping him.
But hold up.
At what price, though? It's all about what he's going to cost.
I still smile a little bit thinking about Patrick Alvin telling us that Bluger could score 15 goals. I think there at one point looked like he might actually score 15 goals, but he's not going to score 15 goals. Bluger still can do more offensively than Nils Åman could ever do.
Yes,
absolutely.
So that's one thing you're thinking about.
Dakota Joshua is another name.
I mean, Dakota Joshua, I don't know how you don't keep him.
You
at
have
this
to
point.
Try to resign.
Like, you know, because he really has progressed beyond what he was, right? He's not, this isn't like some fourth liner that you become overly infatuated with.
Yeah.
Like, he is a guy that has proved himself to be a third line winger. And if he really, maybe he can become a second line power forward. Like that's the, and that's where you start thinking, okay, what do we pay this guy? You know, you're not going to sign him like huge long term deal. But you sign him for a couple of years, and you're going to figure out what the price is and see what that is. So
Wednesday, we're going to talk about Filip Hronek. We're going to save it for Wednesday, though. We're going to save it for Wednesday. That's our little teaser.
Oh, yeah. I got some good stuff.
Quads and PJ back in the saddle on Wednesday. Harmon will join me tomorrow. It'll be a remote episode as we preview tomorrow's game against the LA Kings. But, Patrick, this was fun.
Oh,
thank
lovely.
You so much for joining me. And we will see you back in that seat. That
we'll
seat.
Test you some more names on Wednesday.
That seat that you're sitting in on Wednesday. And Friday. And people who listen to this show know that I switch the chairs every time. And Patrick had a problem with that.
He made me do it. Matt's chair is much nicer. Much better aligned.
Yeah. Are we blaming the chairs as to why we didn't start on time?
Yes. Well.
I don't know. I was here on time.
We are blaming Sakaris.
I even stopped to get coffee as I walked up the street.
Blame Matt Sakaris.
Yeah, blame Matt Sakaris. All right. We'll sign off there. For my co-host, Patrick Johnson, our technical producer, Grady Sass, my name is Dave Guglielli. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of The Canucks Conversation. Canucks Conversation with Harmon and Quads brought to you by the Toyota BZ4X. The BZ4X's fresh look is just an added bonus to its range, since you can drive up to 406 kilometers on a single charge. That's enough to get you from Kitsilano to Whistler or Kamloops to Kelowna and back and still be home in time for the game. Now that's what we'd call electric. The best part, by choosing electric, you can get up to $11,000 in rebates and incentives. The BZ4X are in stock and selling quickly, so make sure to visit shoptoyota.ca or your local Pacific Toyota dealer to get your hands on one. Canucks Conversation is live Monday through Friday, every weekday at 2 p.m. over on the Canucks Army YouTube channel. Make sure you like, subscribe, and interact in the YouTube live chat every day with us, folks.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat,
rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.